This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin. Tonight, according to a new survey, Penang seems to be a pretty happy place, so we wanted to explore that and what it could mean for the country. So first, we're going to dive into the survey findings and how they can translate to policy making. And then we find out how much of our happiness and satisfaction are driven by our environment. So I am curious, as a Malaysian, how would you rate your own happiness right now? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is just about 6:08, and let's look at the survey that is the starting off point for our show. Yesterday, Penang Institute released the results of its Happiness in Penang, or HIP, that's quite a good acronym, index survey. And basically, this is what it comes down to. More than three quarters of residents surveyed in it anyway, identified as happy. In other words, 76.5%. And 3,011 Penang residents were actually surveyed, and they represent Penang's estimated population of 1.8 million people. And if you're wondering what it was that they were trying to measure, it actually looks at four domains to measure the quality of life in the state. The short form of it is feel. And what that shakes out to is that F is freedom and governance. E is economic well-being. Another E, environmental sustainability. And the L is livability and social well-being. And the survey itself was carried out in two phases, so October 2020 and May 2021. And this is actually the first of its kind in the country. They plan to conduct the index survey every 2 to 3 years. It's going to be interesting to see how things develop, how things change. And now, looking at those overall numbers, like I said earlier, 76.5% surveyed identified as happy, 23.5% said they are not yet happy, 13.7% are narrowly happy, 9.9% identified as unhappy. And if we look at the specific indicators, more than 78% of the respondents are happy with the freedom and governance in the state. 79.1% said that they were happy with their economic well-being. 76% said that they are happy with the environmental sustainability efforts taken by the state government. And 79.3%, so that's the highest, are happy with the livability and social well-being in the state. I think that more or less covers it. So looking at what this says and considering that it's the first of its kind, I think my immediate thoughts, aside from good for you, Penang, was also to think about how this would translate nationally, right? And also how something like this could be used to guide policymaking, because Bhutan famously uses a happiness index to look at how things are going in the country. And I think that in this day and age, when we talk about how sometimes the rakyat don't feel included or don't feel thought of in conversations about where the country is heading, don't feel so in control of what basically what's going to happen, something like a happiness index, I think, would go a long way towards measuring and considering what could be done to up that, especially because we're looking at things like freedom and governance, we're looking at things like economic well-being, all of which are important on a policy-making level anyway. Now, just to say that the full report on the HIP index will be published on Penang Institute's website next month, and we're going to be taking a look at the findings after this, as well as how it might translate into policy making. But like I said, I am so, so curious, because if we take a national look, right, as a Malaysian, how would you rate your own happiness right now? And what kinds of parameters would you be using to measure that? You can let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. I think I would say I'm at about an 8 if I think of the whole thing, if I think about everything, including perhaps the less tangible stuff like how I feel socially and so on. But if I think too much about politics and governance, for me, I think it would drop to a 6. So again, I'd like to know where you shake out on that. Those numbers, 7733 2900 to call, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be speaking with Yong Pei Jung, senior analyst at Penang Institute, to find out more about the survey. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:15 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. Today we are talking about happiness and how that can translate to policy making. This is coming as the Penang Institute released the results of its Happiness in Penang Index survey, in which 76.5% of residents identified as happy. And we want to look at what this could translate to both within the state as well as nationally. And we're asking you, as a Malaysian, how would you rate your own happiness right now? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Yong Pei Jung, senior analyst at Penang Institute. Pei Jung, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So this Happiness in Penang Index survey is actually the first of its kind here. Could you tell us why it was conducted?
So the Happiness Index in Penang actually is a project that was conceived as part of the Penang 2030 vision, which was launched by the Chief Minister in 2018. So actually the research and the groundwork in building the index began in 2019, and we were supposed to run the survey in 2020 quarter one, and we all know what happened then. So the way that we want to structure the survey is to go down to the ground, face-to-face with the respondents, because that's the best way you sort of gauge how they're feeling through their expressions in their faces and things like that. But with the COVID, we had no choice. So we had to readjust and rethink and basically reframe our whole study to carry this out during the times of the pandemic. So what we did was we did it online. And then we also did it face-to-face when things are fairly more certain on the ground and people are more willing to answer our questions in that sense. So as to why the HIP Index was basically thought up of, or why we want to undertake this study, because we know that when it comes to economic development, we look at the metrics of GDP and GNP, and those are reliable measurements. But they are not so, they have less bearing when it comes to social progress or the experience, happiness, and well-being of its people. So in carrying out this project, we actually aim to gauge the satisfaction and the happiness of Penangites in building a multidimensional index that gives us a picture of happiness in Penang across different domains.
So you mentioned that there had to be adjustments to how the survey was run, right? Especially mm-hmm. because of the pandemic. Ultimately, then, take us through the kinds of questions you asked. Who did the sample include?
So we surveyed 3,011 respondents overall. So half of this was conducted. We collected them from an online survey, and the other half, we went down to the ground face-to-face in quarter one of 2021. So we have stratified it across gender, age, ethnicity, and district primarily. And the questions we asked, so as we said, we had four domains, right? We have four domains and we have different indicators for each domain. So as an example, for the livability domain, for example, so we asked questions on housing, on health, on safety and security, on urban connectivity. So these are some of the indicators. For economic well-being, we look at income and salaries, employment opportunities, financial security. For freedom and governance, we look at things like political freedom, freedom of speech, governance. And for environmental sustainability, definitely environmental awareness and issues, environmental policies. So these are only a few indicators. We have quite a lot besides that as well.
Now, what were the key findings? Did anything stand out to you?
In terms of key findings, I think it would be a little bit difficult for me to pin it down because there are so many findings that contribute to the index. But if I want to pick out one thing that really stood out to me, will be that the results found that the family and community satisfaction among Penangites, among the people that we surveyed, are significantly high, like 70 to 80% satisfied levels. So I think that was a very good finding for me personally, because it kind of warms my heart to know that Penangites, on the whole, they enjoyed such strong personal relationships. On the less positive side, I would say the one less positive finding that stood out to me would be the financial security of Penangites. So it's actually quite worrying that we found that more than 50% of our respondents would actually have savings, not enough savings to last them beyond a year if they were to lose their income today. So that was concerning to see. And then I guess when it comes to policy making, this is something that the government should consider in that sense.
So considering this is so multidimensional and there are different factors involved, perhaps this is a difficult question, but what factors impacted the happiness overall of participants the most? Is it possible to say?
Yes, because we actually look at the composition of happiness in each domain by looking at the sufficiency levels of each indicator. So this is actually a bit complicated to understand, but this will be in our full report as well. And if you go to Penang Institute's website, our executive summary booklet has some information on it as well. So you could understand what we mean by sufficiency. So in this sense, when we look at the sufficiency of the indicators with a high percentage of respondents who enjoy sufficiency, we see it as the bigger contributors to happiness overall. So among them, we find that community and civic participation, so these are just some examples, community and civic participation, social and economic mobility, environmental policies, and family and community well-being. So these are the four indicators that enjoy sufficiently high percentage of sufficiency. So we can attribute that to as some of the factors for happiness among our respondents.
And do you think that the pandemic had an impact on Penangites' happiness? I mean, if we look at what the findings suggest.
A little bit difficult to answer because we didn't run the survey before the pandemic. So it's a bit difficult to see a direct impact in terms of across all the indicators. But we did have questions on pre-pandemic life and current pandemic life in the indicator for well-being and quality of life. And we actually found that a large percentage of respondents actually rate their current quality of life as good. So about 51% said their current quality of life is good, which is a good percentage. But at the same time, we also found that 42.9% said that their lives are better before the pandemic. So in this sense, I guess we can say, yes, the pandemic has impacted the quality of life among Penangites.
And if we look ahead, how can these survey findings be used?
Well, I think these survey findings provide a picture where we can see the areas of where Penangites are satisfied or not satisfied with. And this actually gives a big insight to the government, to the areas to be considered when it comes to policymaking.
And should it be the objective of governments to create policies based on perhaps how well they would improve happiness level in the people?
I think it should definitely be one of the considerations when it comes to policy making, to consider the happiness and the satisfaction of its people when you craft the policy. Because as we have mentioned earlier, and I think Lynn yourself has also mentioned it as well, a country and state's overall development needs to be more holistic and more inclusive. And then we need to look beyond wealth and monetary terms in development.
This is a bit off base perhaps, but because this is the first of its kind in Penang, is there a comparable study where you could compare Penang to, I don't know, some other state or some other city and look at the different levels of happiness? Is there such a comparison to be made?
We can't compare it for Malaysia, obviously, because other states have not undertaken such a project. So Malaysia actually has, what was it called? Sorry, it's escaping me right now. A Malaysian Wellbeing Index. So that Malaysia actually has a country index in that sense. But I haven't looked properly at the comparisons with our index and their index. But I guess the most obvious example will be Bhutan, as we also borrowed quite a bit from their framework when we framed the happiness index for Penang. And it will be quite hard to compare, I guess, because we have different indicators as well, because we have indicators that are suited to what we think are important to the Penangites, but else Bhutan has theirs. So I would say it's quite difficult to make that comparison.
And also they've spent more time and money investing in this idea of a happiness index.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So Bhutan has come up. Are there examples from other countries where policies targeted at improving happiness levels actually led to increased well-being?
Led to increased well-being. I'm actually not very sure, but I know a lot of countries do consider happiness in their policy making. So, for example, I think Thailand has their own happiness study, so not an index, but something that looks at the happiness of their people, and South Korea as well. So I think increasingly countries are taking a closer look at life satisfaction, well-being and happiness when it comes to policy making. I think we are in a place where we are not so stringent on GDP and GNT anymore. And I think that's a good thing moving forward.
What would be the value of running a survey like this on a nationwide scale?
I think it would certainly be very valuable, although it would be a huge undertaking because Malaysia is so diverse, you know, in different states, different communities. And I think it would be really valuable to conduct this study across all the different communities and different states to see where each state is at in terms of their own happiness and how can this be brought together to craft a federal policy that could work towards raising the life satisfaction and happiness of Malaysians overall.
And if we look at the individual level, then what can people gain from either looking at the results of a happiness survey or participating in a happiness survey?
I think in terms of participation, right, I think, like, for example, me myself, when I did the pilot study for the survey, when I answered the questions myself, it actually gives me some room to consider certain aspects of my life and identifying room for improvement in the areas that I'm less happy with. So that's from an individual point of view. And also, additionally, I think this survey actually allows Penangites to indirectly participate in the process of policymaking. So if we are going to take the results of the happiness index to craft better policies for the state, then Penangites in that sense have taken part in this whole process in helping the government to identify what are the areas that you should be improving on, what are the areas you should be working on to basically increase social well-being among Penangites. So I think that will be the value of the respondents and for people participating in the survey.
And finally, are there already plans to conduct the happiness index survey again?
Yes, actually, we plan to start data collection for the next survey in quarter one of 2022. So that's the plan. And the current index will then serve as a basis for comparison when we do the next survey.
And hopefully this time you can maybe do more in person.
Yes, yes. That's the plan. Fingers crossed.
Pei Jung, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Yong Pei Jung, Senior Analyst at Penang Institute, taking us through the Happiness in Penang Index survey, which was recently, the results of which were recently released and found that 76.5% of residents surveyed identified as happy. That got us thinking about how this could be used in policy making. We'd like to hear from you. I mean, as a Malaysian, how would you rate your own happiness and would you like to see happiness being taken into account when it comes to our policies? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have, let's see, this from Adlin, who says, I don't know about you, but I feel that Penangites are generally happy people, mainly because they have such great cooks and good food. That is a very Malaysian message, it feels like, the focus on good food equals happiness, which I think is very fair. Keep those thoughts coming. Again, the question is, how would you rate your own happiness, since we're talking about a happiness index? And also, how would you like to see happiness taken into account for policy making? That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. And our story today really focuses on happiness indices and whether or not they could be used in policy making. And this is starting off with a new survey, the first of its kind in Penang, done by the Penang Institute, called the Happiness in Penang Index Survey, in which more than three quarters of the respondents identified as happy. And that got us thinking about how this could be extended nationwide, how it could be used when it comes to determining policy. So we'd like to hear from you. How would you rate your own happiness at the moment? And also, how would you like to see happiness making its way into our policy? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us on the line now, we have Victor. Victor, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, good evening. I like this topic about this, happiness index. I think and they're doing it with Penang. I'm so glad that someone is doing it. Most of the time we hear it is Bhutan doing it and other countries. So now we have Malaysia is going to do it. Now, I'm a believer in happiness. I'm a consultant, so I actually promote this concept of happiness in the workplace. So, and it's important because if people are happy, they are more productive, they are more positive. And And in a way, I think this happiness index will also show a reflection of the well-being of Malaysians and how, and it is a good feedback for the leaders of the nation to take into consideration of the well-being and in what areas, you know, if they, no specific were given, but I suppose if specific were given, there were certain areas of concern, so they can address that to raise that happiness index. I think it is, it's a very good index to give a ballpark figure to gauge some of the areas where leaders can put more emphasis to grow and develop the nation.
Yeah, for sure. I completely agree. How would you rate your own happiness, by the way?
A scale of 1 to 10, or what's the scale you're giving
me? Let's use 1 to 10.
1 to 10. I would give myself an 8. You know, I would give myself 8, which means that if the leaders were to know this, they got more, 2 more to go to reach 10. But I want to say this is that overall, of course, there is also this thing about an attitude of a person. For example, in this COVID-19, some people are very unhappy. But some people, they are resilient, you know. They will bounce with it and they will find other things to be happy about. Because you can be locked down, but you don't have to be locked out. There are many things you can do. For example, during the lockdown, I was one of the happiest person. I got a chance to do my gardening. I was mowing the lawn, for, you know. I was cutting, you know, all the plants and raking the leaves, losing weight at the same time. So I think looking at that, you know, and so I would say that I still would be very, I was still very happy, you know, during this lockdown, you know, despite the these restrictions.
Well, Victor, I'm happy you called. Thank you so much.
Most welcome. It's my pleasure. So good luck to the team and hope that this thing will take off nationwide. All the best.
Thanks, Victor. Thank you so much for calling. And of course, we've been asking you that very question. How would you rate your happiness? And also, how would you like to see it enter policymaking? And we have some messages in relation to this. So Long Long says, out of curiosity and as a proposal on the way forward, this happiness index should be incorporated into our nation's census. And you know, Long Long, I was thinking about that because of course we're talking about taking it forward, right? And this idea of putting it in the census is a good one. Although of course we still have problems getting people or getting enough quorum even to respond to the census. So I'm not sure that adding questions, whether that might present another stumbling block. And the other thing is looking at the way the specificity of what the index covers and the questions that it asked, I think that there's a reason why they wanted to do as many of the conversations face-to-face as possible. And that's because you're better able to gauge exactly how people are responding. You can ask more probing questions. So I think certainly some element of it should be in our nation's census. I think having a ballpark figure generally would definitely be good. But on the other hand, I do think that we are still going to need the old-fashioned sort of boots-on-the-ground approach of going out, meeting people, asking these questions. We also have Lana who says, kudos to Penang Institute for this initiative. This should be adopted in all other states as well. Happiness is such an abstract yet important factor in public morale. It's important to quantify it so we can put the data to good use in policymaking. Lana, I agree. I think that that is actually one of the things that I find most fascinating about this because happiness feels like such, you're right, an abstract thing, like it's filled with so many intangible things that having something like an index really, really helps in actually narrowing that down and making it feel more concrete and therefore more doable. Please keep those thoughts coming. How would you rate your own happiness at the moment? How would you like to see happiness make its way into our policy making? We are asking this because we heard earlier about a survey from the Penang Institute that measures happiness in Penang. And at the moment, what they found was that 76.5% of their respondents identified as happy, always a good thing. And among the factors they looked at included things like governance, environment. So that's what we want to look into after this. How much does our environment factor into our happiness as a whole? To do that, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Chua Suk Ning. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9. 89.9.
It is 6:46. You're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. And today we are talking about happiness, how it's measured and how it can make its way into our policymaking. This is following on a Happiness in Penang Index survey, which found that over three quarters of the residents identified as happy. And that had us thinking, how would we fare nationwide? And how would we like to see things like these make its way into policymaking? We'd like to hear from you. How would you rate your own happiness? How would you like this idea of a happiness index to be applied when it comes to policy? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we're crossing over to Dr. Chua Suk Ning, clinical psychologist and founder of Relate Malaysia. Suk Ning, as always, pleasure to have you on. Now, we're discussing happiness today because, as we said earlier, an index conducted by the Penang Institute found that about 76% of the residents surveyed identified as happy. What do you make of the result?
I think that's nice to hear, would be what I'll make of the results. I mean, it's always good to hear that there are people who are happy, and then obviously my mind also goes to the quarter of people who are less than happy.
Are surveys an accurate method of measuring happiness, you think?
Happiness is a really interesting construct. Happiness is not stable. It's not like, you know, you could say I'm happy today and tomorrow you're not going to be happy, right? So it's variable depending on the day, on the state, even the time. So I think it's a little bit, depending on how they measure happiness, you want to kind of account for the fact that it's quite state-like and rather than a stable trait that you can go, once I'm happy today, means I'm going to be happy for the rest of my life. But in general, yes, you can use surveys to measure happiness.
And is there value in conducting ongoing surveys? What can we do to ensure that the information that's shared in them are robust and representative of a population?
Absolutely. I think we definitely need more good surveys done, and that's going to help us track our mental health as a nation, our physical health as a nation as well. So without being too technical about survey design, generally you want a probability sampling, which means that, you know, your participants are randomly selected from the population depending on your demographic profile, so that we say, okay, that's pretty representative of what we find. And of course, it's not going to be exactly the same for everyone. You know, if I collect it again next year, I might have a different set of people. But I think that's one of the ways that you can, you try to design your survey to be representative of a population.
So, Ning, before we get further into it, I know we've asked you some form of this question over the last couple of years, but do you think that the pandemic has changed the way that we experience and personally measure happiness?
That's a great question. I can speak for everyone. I'm very interested in what you think. You know, has it changed the way you measure happiness? Probably in general, we are, I think especially Malaysians, are quite a resilient bunch. And, you know, we adapt to our situation. We get used to things. But sometimes it's hard to adapt because, you know, the pandemic, this, you know, life during the pandemic is very unstable. Things are always fluctuating, so you don't have time to adapt and sort of create that stability. So I think I'm not sure how people are personally measuring happiness, but for me, I would say if today I'm able to do some work, I'm pretty good. I wouldn't say I'm happy, but I say, yeah, not bad. Not bad would be my general state of things right now.
You know, some of the categories that the survey measured included freedom and governance, as well as the environment. How much do external factors like these shape how happy we are?
Definitely quite a bit. So our state of being is always a contribution of our internal and external environment. You know, how we are isn't just a mental state. You know, it's not just by pure will I can be happy. But of course, if your environment is stressful and, you know, there's financial insecurity, you don't even have a safe and comfortable place to stay, it's harder to be happy and to thrive.
Right. And in line with that, then, what external factors do you think are most important, most pressing?
I would go with our, you know, there's this Maslow hierarchy of needs, you know, that says, okay, you have your physical needs met. You know, if you have food and you've got a safe environment, if you've got housing. But other than that, humans have three fundamental psychological needs. You know, the need to feel competent, the need to feel connected, and the need to feel authentic or self-determined. So you're not just, you know, you don't feel controlled by someone else. And that's often the external factor. So the external environment can influence our need satisfaction, right? If I'm in an environment where, let's say, my boss is very controlling, it's hard to be happy. If I'm in an environment where my teachers aren't giving me support and my, you know, the material I'm studying is very difficult, so I feel incompetent, it's hard to be happy. So I would indeed separate the two, environment and those sort of your internal factors. I'll say that there's an interplay between the two.
So conversely then, how much of happiness might be determined by our emotional state or our inner self?
I think the pursuit of happiness is elusive. You can only pursue need satisfaction. And if you have your needs satisfied, you'll be pretty happy.
Now, we may not all be fortunate enough to live in a place where we feel the same level of happiness and satisfaction as the respondents in the survey. What can we do to try and foster that, regardless of our surroundings?
That's an interesting point you raise. It's probably not helpful to, you know, to sort of compare and go, okay, you know, Penangites living in a nice place, got chocolate all the time, you know, like, you know, it's great stuff there, and I'm not living like that. It also depends on what's important to you. And then at the end of the day, you know, again, we go back to need satisfaction of, are your fundamental needs satisfied? Are you feeling connected to people? Because relationships, we know, make a huge difference to our happiness, our health, our well-being, our future. You know, are you feeling competent? Do you have opportunities to feel effective and to feel like you're growing and mastering new things and being challenged in that way and supported? And do you have opportunities to be self-determined and have some say in how life is going? And if you are able to find a place that has these, that can meet these needs, you'd be pretty happy. Again, you know, it doesn't really matter where you stay. I think the immediate environment is going to play a big difference.
So how can the happiness of citizens be worked into policymaking? I mean, what form would you like to see it take?
Governments are looking into this more and more. I think it's a good direction to account for our psychological state and to look at what we'll be contributing to that. As you know, someone in public health, I'm still a little bit on the fence about whether happiness, because I said it's so state-like, you know, it's going to vary, whether that should be something that we should aim for. Instead, I would encourage policymaking to aim for creating an environment that's going to be conducive for need satisfaction, that's going to be conducive for people, you know, growing and learning and being able to achieve what's important to them.
So, Kning, what would you like to leave us with?
My final message is, it's okay to be unhappy. It's great when you're happy. Be patient with yourself and be kind to yourself when you're not feeling happy, and do things that make you feel good.
Suk Ning, as always, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Chua Suk Ning, clinical psychologist and founder of Relate Malaysia. I think giving some insight into the role that external factors, our environment, can play in our happiness. We're talking about this, of course, because of the Happiness in Penang Index survey, which found that on the whole, and I mean in a very simplistic way, Overall, Penangites pretty happy. More than three quarters of the respondents identified as such, and they looked at things like freedom and governance, economic well-being, environmental sustainability efforts, and livability and social well-being. So we've been asking you, how would you rate your own happiness at the moment? And how would you like to see happiness make its way into policy making? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a number of messages that have come in. So Kevin says, feeling like a 7, I maybe will go up to 7.5 once I'm out of this traffic jam. Kevin, I hear you. Drive safe. I think all of us feel like we gain that extra 0.5 or one whole point whenever it is that we finally get out of jams. And, you know, this is exactly it, right? If it makes its way into policy making, then perhaps we can see some change. We also have this anonymous message saying, I'm happy right now. I have a roof over my head. I'm earning enough to feed my family and myself with some left over for niceties. I'm healthy. Whatever medical bills are covered by my employer. There is convenient infrastructure in the KL Klang Valley area. I can still drive around safely most times without running into road bullies. But when I look into the near future, I'm not sure. Being in between the B40 and M40 borderline, I didn't have extras due to family commitments to save up nor invest for my retirement. So if I have to sell my house with the hope of financing my retirement, I would have to leave the comfort, safety and familiarity of my current home. If I become no longer mobile and I have to rely on public transport, the present aesthetic and modern infrastructure and buildings may become a challenge for me to move around because we're just pushing for new buildings, but they're not user-friendly for the aged and physically challenged. All the profit-induced development focused in the KL Klang Valley would be pushing out aging KLites and Selangorians, so the government should distribute the development to other states and areas. It is only logical and appropriate. A number of really, really important points, and I think this idea of where you are right now and where you could be in the future is such an interesting one, especially if we're talking about how it is that a survey like this could actually make its presence meaningfully felt in policymaking. Because sure, how we are now is important, but honestly, looking at where we could be or anticipating our needs in the future is also something that really matters. Meanwhile, Belinda says, happiness is able to bake tasty chocolate chip cookies, scones and other goodies. Do things that make you happy, like me, just bake. You know, this reminds me of what we heard earlier from our caller, Victor, about gardening. And that's absolutely something that we've heard about in the lockdowns. As a side note, right, those of us who are privileged enough to have comfortable homes, to have comfortable spaces, safe spaces, I think so many of us found refuge in arts and crafts, in baking and gardening. So yeah, a lot of us emerged with new hobbies. Anyway, we've been talking today about happiness. We'd like to know, how would you rate your own happiness and how would you like to see happiness factored in when it comes to policies? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.